This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Alan Pogenpohl, your country financial agent in Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing of Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Game Zone Plus in Nokomis. And by Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Let's take the trip out to Nokomis. Here's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you so much. And we are in Nokomis at the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum. And the Hometown Heroes exhibit is still here. It'll be here in Nokomis for one more week. So if you have not had a chance to come out and check out the Hometown Team's exhibit, you've got 1 week left to do it. And David, this is your first time here in the museum. Pretty impressive.
It is. It's really awesome seeing a bunch of this stuff. I didn't know really what to expect when I came in here, but I'm pleasantly satisfied.
Steve Johnson, the treasurer of the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum, is joining us here for our first segment on Sports Saturday. And Steve, we've heard you talk about this Hometown Team's exhibit here on WSMI a couple different times. First time I've had a chance to see it. Very impressive. Just kind of talk about the feedback you've received from the community here.
Well, it's been very positive. A lot of people just like yourself, David, come in, don't know what to expect, and they walk away impressed.
Yeah.
A lot of very nice things, both in the museum itself and with the Smithsonian exhibit. It's complemented each other very well, I think.
Let's talk about the Smithsonian exhibit. It's not something that goes to just any place. You have to basically have kind of a pedigree to get something like this.
Well, sure, yeah, you have to apply for it. We were one of six towns in Illinois to receive this. Each town gets it for about 6 weeks. We were able to get the time frame we wanted, which coincided here with the Nokomis homecoming. So it'll give people that are here in town that are from afar a chance to come in and see what it's about. And in fact, we were looking at numbers of people who have come in so far. We've had people from 13 states and four countries.
Oh, wow.
So far to see stuff.
That's amazing. And you were telling me earlier that you've had a better turnout here than the other places has had previously.
I think so. I mean, we've had the advantage of being open longer than the other places, which was Cobden and also in Mattoon. We're open 7 days a week. We're open noon to 9 every day, and on Saturdays from 9 to 9. So we've had the time, and that the only way that's done is from volunteers. We were also looking at the number of volunteers we've had. We've had more than 70 people work at least one shift for us here during this exhibit, which is just fantastic.
We saw a couple of the ladies just wander in about 10 minutes ago to start their shift today.
That's right. So we're very thankful for everybody's support.
And you also mentioned how you were fortunate enough not to have to travel a long ways to get this exhibit.
Yeah, each town has to go and get the exhibit from the prior town. We had to go down Route 16 to Mattoon to get ours. After it leaves here, it's going to go to Waterloo. So those folks have a little bit of a trip, but then the next place is Rock Island. So they'll have a haul to get down to Waterloo to get it, but it's well worth the effort.
And that really is the neat thing to me about this Smithsonian exhibit is it's traveling from the north to the south to the east to the west. I mean, this thing is going all across the state, and here it is in Nokomis. And as I was walking around looking at it, there's just so many different neat things, but really what caught my eye was they got a 1984 Air Jordan sneaker over there.
Yeah, they have that. It's posted on a kiosk, I guess you'd call it, with a lot of older things to remember, you know, as far back as probably the 50s or earlier, even with, you know, advertisements or old games that you remember playing. There's an old ColecoVision football game that I've probably heard 25 people say, oh, I had that, or I played that when I was a kid. And that's really what the exhibit's about, is to remember how things were and how, as the subtitle of the exhibit is, how sports shaped America.
And the Smithsonian exhibit, it is neat, no doubt about it, but you guys have your own personal touch here with the Hometown Team section, and just talk a little bit about that awesome display case with all those championship trophies.
Well, I know you guys have been very nice to talk that up a little bit, and it's a very nice display. We've got 8 championship trophies from area high school championship teams, ranging from as recent as the 2009 Lincolnwood baseball team all the way back 100 years to the 1914 Hillsboro basketball team, which is just a tremendous accomplishment for them.
And it is a neat looking, it's not really a plaque. I don't even know what you would call it. It's not a trophy for certain, but
it's a shield. It's a shield.
It is shield-esque, but you can tell 100 years ago, things were just made a little better.
For sure.
Steve, you talked about the feedback has been generally positive here. The Baseball Museum itself, it really is such a great addition to downtown Nokomis.
Well, thank you. We are trying to make it better all the time and trying to make it a draw not for the Nokomis, not only for the Nokomis folks, but for the county folks, the region. It's really for all of Central Illinois to come and see. It's the Central Illinois version of Cooperstown, we hope.
That's right.
That's what we strive for.
I like that. There's a lot of Cardinal stuff here, but it's not just Cardinals. This is the history of baseball.
It is. We have a lot of things from a lot of different eras, as you're alluding to. Just a number of different things that are very, very nicely put together.
I always like old uniforms, and you have a lot of really neat old uniforms here, but you also have a collection of the high school uniforms that are in the front window. Could you talk a little bit about those?
Sure. That was put together by one of our directors, Lisa Billingsley. She's worked really hard on getting that display. When we were down in Cobden where this Smithsonian exhibit opened, they had a little somewhat of a similar display, and we kind of took some ideas from other places, and Lisa really ran with that and has put together a nice display for people to walk by and see in the window and kind of catch their eye, and hopefully they wander in and check us out.
We are here at the Bottomley Ruffing Chalk Baseball Museum in Nokomis. Steve Johnson is joining us. He's the treasurer of the board, among other things. A beautiful hometown Smithsonian exhibit here at the Baseball Museum in Nokomis, and right behind where we're broadcasting from, I know that Terry, a few weeks ago, brought in some old-school radio equipment.
Yeah, I figured there would be a quiz for you guys on how to run that equipment later, but
they predates me a little bit.
Well, there's some
wording. I recognize some of it.
Yeah, there's some wording there for you. Maybe that'll help you learn that. But no, you guys were generous enough to loan some of the ways that you could get games on the air longer ago. Obviously, everything evolves, and this is just one of it.
Radio and baseball are pretty much linked together just from the way it evolved back in the day. But as you look at some of that stuff, it's amazing to think, not just the radio stuff, but the old baseball gloves that are in here. You see the bats. They're so much bigger and heavier. It's really just neat to come in here and get a feel for what it used to be like.
Yeah, definitely. We span the gamut from the old to the new. We've got things that are 100 years old. We got things that are, a year old.
Right.
You look at some of the old baseball gloves. It's like, what was the point of even wearing a glove?
Yeah, bare hand might have been better.
Yeah, bare hand might have just been better.
See, let's talk a little bit about the namesakes of the museum, Bottomley Ruffing and Chalk. Great displays for all three of those gentlemen.
Yeah, of course, Bottomley was on the just before the Gas House Gang started in the 20s and 30s for the Cardinals. First baseman still shares the major league record for runs batted in a game with 12, amongst other very impressive records.
That's going to stand for a while.
I hope so. I hope so. Yes, it's been, I think this is the 90th year that,
wow.
It'd be 90 years ago that he set that in, I believe, September of 24. Had a MVP season in 1928. I believe he had more than 20 doubles, triples, and home runs that year. I don't think that's happened very often. I believe Jimmy Rollins did that a few years ago, but prior to that it had been a number of years since someone had turned in something like that. Red Roofing started out with the Red Sox. Did not have a lot of success there. Got traded to the Yankees, and his career took off. Won more than 270 games. He was a prolific hitter, had 36 home runs. Not bad for a pitcher. Batted over 260 in his career and was a pinch hitter a number of times for those Yankee teams. And they were pretty good Yankee teams.
Yeah. And, a lot of guys have thrived once they got to the Yankees.
Well, absolutely. He started, I believe, and won six first games of World Series.
So, and as you know, the first game of the World Series, the most important game in a lot of ways.
That's the trendsetter for sure. Right. And then, of course, Ray Schalk was a catcher for the White Sox for 16 years. He debuted in 1912, was on the 1919 team, not one of the eight men out.
Right. Important distinction.
That's right, and was often credited as being one of the first catchers to back up plays at first base, known for his defense, and was just an all-around talent.
It's just kind of neat if you watch that movie, Eight Men Out, seeing a guy or a person who, you know, is from this area being portrayed in a movie.
Yeah, no, it's neat.
And he was portrayed very well, I thought.
As a good guy, nonetheless, yeah. As you could say.
One of the few.
Yeah.
One of the few. Stevie, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time here today. Is there anything that the people need to know that we haven't discussed here yet?
Just come out and see this. You know, we've put in some time putting this together, and it's for the people to come out and enjoy. And we'd like to thank everybody that has helped us out as well. Nokomis High School helped us host the opening event for us. Steel Hall, we had a couple of events there, including a media roundtable that Terry was part of. And we thank everybody for their time and their efforts.
Talk a little bit about that media roundtable, if you would. That was a pretty big event.
It was. We had five guys from the media, including Terry, Dave Kane from the State Journal Register, Kyle Herschelman, of course, from the Journal News, Jeff Agrest, who's the sports copy editor from the Chicago Sun-Times, and Mike Brad, who's the play-by-play man for Eastern Illinois University. And we had a nice little roundtable discussion of anything you can think of about sports, professional, college, high school. It was over an hour, and we had a good interaction with the folks that were there in the audience, and I think everyone came away pleased with that event.
Very cool. The Smithsonian exhibit will be here for one more week?
Up through next Sunday, the 20th. Yes.
Next Sunday, the 20th. So you will be open till what time next Sunday?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. So
noon to 9.
Noon to 9. So at 9:01 next Sunday,
closed.
If you haven't been here, you're out of luck.
Well, for the Smithsonian.
For the Smithsonian.
That's right.
That's exactly
going
right.
Forward, we'll be open 1 to 5 Saturdays and Sundays.
And, of course, you had to move a lot of the great stuff you have kind of around here. I had to put some of it in storage to make room for the Smithsonian exhibit. So once the exhibit is out, you guys will be busy again getting everything reorganized.
That's right. We got to take down the Smithsonian and get the museum back to its former shape.
Steve Johnson, thank you so much. Here we are broadcasting from the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum in Nokomis. The Nokomis homecoming going on this weekend as well. So a lot of fun here in downtown Nokomis. We need a break on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust and is a Hertz car rental agency. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to a motorcycle. And now Kurt's does semi and automotive tires and repair, as well as complete automotive repair. So when you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing, behind Denny's in Litchfield. GameZone Plus in Nokomis has what you're looking for. GameZone Plus has new and used laptops, tablets, cell phones, video game consoles and controllers, TVs, and a wide variety of electronic accessories. They also buy, sell, trade, and rent video games and DVDs. New releases too. GameZone Plus also offers expert computer and smartphone service and repair. Remember to shop local. GameZone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 7, Saturday 9 to 9, Sunday noon to 6.
And at 9:18, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you this time by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. There's a slight chance for some showers today. We'll have a high of around 90. Partly cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. Still a slight chance for some rain today. We'll have a low of around 70. Heading into tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a 50% chance of rain on Sunday. Expect a high in the upper 80s. And at 9:19, we have a temperature reading of 77 degrees. The weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
As your agricultural lender, Security National Bank appreciates the trust that area farmers have instilled in us. I'm Jim Miller, and I'd like to be your ag lender this season. As a farmer myself, I understand. I know that farming isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Visit us at one of our four locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, or online at securitynb.com. Security National Bank, big enough to serve you, small enough to know you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Ron Ketty Distributors of Nokomis is a proud sponsor of the Nokomis Homecoming. Ron Ketty Distributors has been serving Montgomery County and the surrounding area for over 100 years. They are the area's distributor of the world's leading brewer, Anheuser-Busch. Ron Ketty Distributors would like you to enjoy the Nokomis Homecoming, but remind you to be safe and responsible. So make sure you stop by and enjoy the Nokomis Homecoming this weekend.
Nokomis Savings Bank is proud to announce that it has once again earned a 5-star superior rating from Bauer Financial in Coral Gables, Florida, the nation's credit union and bank rating firm. The latest rating signifies that Nokomis Savings Bank is one of the strongest banks in the nation. Having earned and maintained a 5-star rating for 25 straight years puts them in the most prestigious category as a Best of Bauer Bank. Nokomis Savings Bank, where you save does matter. Proud sponsor of the Nokomis Homecoming, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And at 9:20, let's head back out to Nokomis once again. Here's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you so much. We are here at the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum in downtown Nokomis. The Nokomis Homecoming is underway, and I believe the 5K has started.
That's what Steve said. Nice weather for that.
Sure.
For right now.
There's never nice weather for a 5K as far as I'm concerned, David.
No, that's right.
The beautiful Smithsonian exhibit will be here, as you heard Steve say, for another week. Next Sunday will be the last day you'll be able to come and see the Smithsonian exhibit, of course, the baseball museum. It's a fixture here in downtown Nokomis. Just so many neat items. They've got old baseball cards, and I mean old baseball cards, the one that they almost look like they're painted or like the old school, like real photographs. They've got a bunch of signed baseballs, and they've got a display over there. David, did you see it? Where it's a collection of different baseballs from different periods that are in different types of condition.
I don't think I got to look at that.
There's a baseball over there that's black.
Really?
No stitching, and it's black.
I wonder if that's from the dead ball era.
I don't know, but pretty cool looking.
Hmm.
So much neat stuff in here, and it's really one of those things, when you come in, don't plan on staying for a certain amount of time. Don't have an idea of a time frame you're going to stay when you come in, because you just need to take your time and just walk through this museum at your own pace, because there's so much to see. I've been here several different times, and every time I come in, it's like, oh, I never saw that before. I never saw that before.
Yeah. Well, one of the things Steve mentioned while we were getting the nickel tour before we went on the air, some of those baseball cards you talked about, I guess some of them are round, and you would think, oh, those are damaged, but I guess that's how they used to make them.
That's how they used to make them. Yeah, one of those was a Stan Musial card from like 1952, I think.
How about that?
Yeah, so a lot of neat stuff here at the Baseball Museum in Nokomis. So make sure you come out, see the Smithsonian exhibit, see the hometown teams exhibit with all the championship trophies, and then, of course, check out all the great baseball memorabilia they have on hand here at the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum. We will have Cardinal baseball coming up for you this afternoon on AM 1540. Cardinals in Milwaukee taking on the Brewers. Live coverage today, 2:15 on AM 1540. Cardinals, David, only a game back of the Brewers. Think about how good Milwaukee played the first 2 months of the year, how frustrating the Cardinals have been to watch this year with their lack of offense, and yet here we are, two games before the All-Star break. They're a game out of first.
Well, and if you're a Brewers fan, you got to be a little frustrated, because there was a stretch of games for the Cardinals where, I mean, they couldn't put wins together, and the Brewers had a chance to be way up on the Cardinals, and now they're kicking themselves for it because they're only a game ahead with two games to play before the break. So,
and you just have the feeling, or I had the feeling, that Milwaukee's played their best baseball of the year. They were so hot to start the year there in April and May. Now, the Cardinals may be finding their stride a little bit. Of course, they erased a 6-0 deficit last night, came back and won. To me, that's a big character win. It's your second game without Yachty. You got blown out the first game without him. You go on the road to the division-leading Brewers. You're down 6-0 after two innings. You come back and win. That could be a springboard type of victory. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it really could be get a little bit of momentum built before you go into the break, and then hope to sustain it afterwards. So we'll see if they can continue to do that.
Of course, Molina has often been considered by pretty much every Cardinal fan the one guy that you really can't afford to lose. There really is no replacement for Yadier Molina. You always hear a lot about Tony Cruz. They talk about the dedication that he has, that he's always in the meetings. He's always paying attention, studying the pitchers, always ready just in case. Now he's going to get his chance.
Well, it's not just amongst Cardinal fans. It's nationally. The Molina injury was a nationwide story. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had everybody talking about how this was going to affect the National League postseason race. Everybody speculated whether the Cardinals were going to go out and sign some sort of a big-name catcher to replace him. Like, A.J. Pierzynski had actually been designated for assignment by the Red Sox the day before Molina went down. So there was some speculation about whether or not the Cardinals would try to work out a deal for him. And at the moment, it seems as though Jose Alec is going to say, you know what? Tony Cruz, he's done a fine job so far. Why not play with him? Of course, they did claim George Kateris off of waivers, a nice backup catcher that he'll probably have to see a week or two down in Memphis to warm up, since he hasn't played in a few weeks. So,
you know, that's an advantage to me that the Cardinals have. It's an advantage when you're good every year, when you compete every year. You don't feel like you really have to mortgage your future any given season to make a postseason run. You know, you see teams like the Brewers, the Pirates, they make the playoffs, you know, once, well, the Pirates once every, you know, 20 years or whatever. But, you know, the Brewers, you know, once every 5, 10 years or whatever, they might make the postseason. So when they have a chance to go for it to make the playoffs, they have to do just that. And they have to give top prospects up to get a major league ready guy for 2 months. They will do it. You don't see the Cardinals under John Mozeliak make those types of moves. He didn't make a big move in the winter. He held on to all that young pitching, and what a brilliant move that was, looking at all the injuries they've had. Can you imagine if Shelby Miller, Carlos Martinez, or somebody like that would have been traded in the offseason for a piece? Then all of a sudden you go from a surplus of pitching to, boy, we're a couple arms short.
Yeah, well, two of the guys they were talking about trading, Lance Lynn and Shelby Miller. I mean, they're two of the guys that are still in the rotation. So
where would the Cardinals be without Lance Lynn?
Boy,
what he's done the last 6 weeks.
Hats off to him, because he's really been consistent. You haven't seen the quote Lenning as he's had in the past, where he gives up everything in one inning, and he's really been able to, you know, at the start of the year he had a bad first inning, but you know that was fine. Most pitchers have bad first innings, so as long as we could get it narrowed down to just that, since then he's been phenomenal. I mean, his ERA is just barely over 3. So,
and it's easy to forget, at least for me, how young Lance Lynn really is.
Oh yeah,
because he was a rookie the 2011 World Championship year coming out of the bullpen, then went to the rotation next year. So this is just his third year as a major league starter. He's gotten a little bit better each year, and it is good to see that he has really fixed the one problem that he really had. The big inning.
Yeah, he's only 27 years old, and I've always said, you know, he had the mentality and the characteristics of an ace. Not necessarily, you know, he wasn't going to be the greatest pitcher in the league, but he had that kind of that bulldog attitude and the leadership capabilities if one day he were to become the guy in a staff. So, I mean, who knows? We could be talking about him as the next Chris Carpenter. And I say that, you know, not meaning he's going to be as good as Chris Carpenter.
Mentality-wise.
Yeah, he's going to be the guy who's going to go out there and win you a big game.
I think you could be exactly right about that. But what he's done, they would not be a game out of first place.
Oh, that's right.
If Lance Lynn was not pitching like he was pitching. Shelby Miller has struggled here a little bit this season. Carlos Martinez is looking like the real deal.
Fortunately, he's in the rotation. I mean, that was something that we'd talked about for a while. He obviously pitched the best out of anybody in the rotation in spring training, and they decided, you know, his arm was just too valuable in that eighth inning spot. And then the first month and a half of the season, he couldn't get any left-handed hitters out, and they figured, you know, maybe last year him coming out of the bullpen was a flash in the pan. You know, maybe he's meant to be a starting pitcher, so they figured they'd extend him a little bit in the bullpen. Finally, he's in the rotation. He's getting a shot now. I mean, the move is paying off.
Well, he's looking like Baby Pedro now.
He is.
And he has, David, what to me, Cardinal pitchers, they didn't have it under LaRusso Duncan because they didn't want it really at all. But that flamboyance. Well, I love a starting pitcher who has the confidence and flamboyance.
Exactly.
That he
you and I have talked about this many times about how Tavares and Wong, their confident attitudes have really helped this turnaround. And how about Carlos Martinez adding to that? I mean, he's just the same kind of guy. I mean, all the confidence in the world. He knows he can pitch, so he's going to go out there and he's not going to be afraid.
If you think about what you've heard from the Cardinals the last, say, 3 to 5 years, the three names that you heard the most were Wong, Tavares, and Martinez. And now here we are approaching the All-Star break of 2014. All three of those guys, Wong and Martinez probably a little bit more than Oscar at this point, turning into key contributors for this club.
Yeah, and really good for Colton Wong. He was starting to get things together after his demotion, and then that unfortunate shoulder injury had to be put on the disabled list. Now he's back from the shoulder injury, and he's hitting for power.
That? So,
I mean, he had some sneaky power.
Had him clean up.
Yeah, no kidding. I didn't expect him to have 5 home runs already. I mean, he's almost caught Alan Craig in the home run category. That's the kind of year he's having.
And that, to me, is what really makes the fact the Cardinals are only a game out of first place so amazing. Craig has been awful.
Yeah.
Holiday, he's getting older. He hasn't produced quite like you've come to expect Matt Holiday to produce.
No,
they got off to such a slow start defensively. That has really improved, but it's the pitching. The pitching has kept them in it.
Well, they have, 16 shutouts now, I think, and that leads the major leagues by quite a bit. I mean, the pitching has never been the problem. They've won quite a few 1-0 ball games. Adam Wainwright has had a phenomenal – he's had like a couple starts where he's gotten absolutely lit up. But other than those two starts, I think every single other start he's given up 2 runs or less. So,
well, and the Cardinals' record when they score 3 runs or more is staggering.
Yeah.
I mean, they have not lost very many ball games at all when they score more than 3 runs. The problem is they haven't scored.
Yeah, they haven't done it a lot. I mean, it's been rare, which is unfortunate, especially coming off the year they had last year. And we knew they weren't going to have because last year was incredible, hitting .330 with runners in scoring position and just the offense that they had. But you would have expected them to, you know, at least hit with runners in scoring position compared to what they've done this year.
But baseball is a funny game. 6 months, you play every day, there's going to be ebbs, there's going to be flows, and if you can pick a time that you want to peak and play your best ball, it's post-All-Star break, and it looks like the Cardinals are starting to find their stride. For whatever reason, the offense is starting to consistently score more runs. I mean, they still have their nights, every club will, where they just get shut down, but basically the last week and a half, it seems like the offense has been pretty good.
It's been better. It's more consistent. It's still maybe not to where you would like it to be, but I mean, honestly, that's becoming the trend around Major League Baseball. I mean, offense is not where it should be everywhere outside of Colorado.
Right.
Offense is pretty scarce league wide. But as far as the Central Division is concerned, we're in for a very, very exciting finish, because 4 teams within, I think, 4 games of first place, and there's a lot of Central Division matchups to be played. And don't count the Cubs out. I mean, the Cubs, well, I say this because the Cubs have a lot of games against the Central Division opponents as well.
Spoilers.
And they're going to relish the role of playing spoilers. So.
Speaking of the Cubs, one of the Smithsonian exhibits here at the Bottomley Ruffing Chalk Baseball Museum is a pretty cool mural of Wrigley Field in its opening day from 2013. But David, they've got some of the, like the bricks displayed there that you'll see around Wrigley Field. And one of them was quite humorous.
Yeah. Something like a World Series champions, and then ... add date at
later date.
Yeah.
Add date later. So the poor Cubbies.
Yeah.
They'll win eventually, David.
Eventually. I mean.
It's my favorite Wrigley Field fact, by the way.
What's that?
That when the field was built, they installed, I think, like 5 flagpoles for championship flags. They've since been taken down without ever flying a championship flag.
They may put them up one day.
Maybe.
One day.
Just maybe.
And if... I mean, we joke about the Cubs a lot, but, I mean, they've got a lot of very good young talent. Obviously, Arizmendi Alcantara got called up this week to take Darwin Barney's place on the bereavement list. And, you know, he rewarded the Cubs with a 4-for-5 day against the Reds. So they've got you're getting a glimpse at some of the young offensive players that they have. The young pitching is going to be the problem. I mean, their pitching has been phenomenal this year so far. But as far as pitching prospects, I mean, they have C.J. Edwards, but outside of that, they're kind of dry. So they may flip some younger guys, some guys on current roster to try and bring in some young pitching prospects.
There's a lot of great, young, exciting talent all across
Major
League Baseball. We are here at the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum in Nokomis. Also, the Nokomis homecoming going on here this weekend in downtown Nokomis. We do need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more from the Baseball Museum following these messages.
Farmers, for all your grain hauling, storage, and marketing needs, the one place to call is Route 16 Grain. Their up-to-date facilities will assist you in making your harvest more successful. Route 16 Grain also has marketing programs, including a marketing club. Stop by any of their three locations to find out why Route 16 Grain is your one-stop shop for all your harvest and marketing needs. You can check them out on their website at rt-16.com. Route 16 Grain in Nokomis, Witt, and Roseman.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond. It's hot outside, but farmer-owned Prairie Farms ice cream is totally cool. Prairie Farms ice cream in the half-gallon square carton comes in 12 different flavors, with seasonal favorites added every year. And for traditional richness of a premium quality ice cream, Prairie Farms also makes a dozen Old Recipe brand flavors. And don't forget the fabulous line of Prairie Farms sherbet for everyday family enjoyment. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
The city of Staunton invites you to the 26th annual Tour de Donut and the 9th annual Rib Fest today in downtown Staunton. It starts with all kinds of food and drinks at 9:30. This year's bands, the Tone Rangers at 10:30, the Rodeo Clowns with the horn section from Men in Heat at 1, Burning Sky, a Bad Company tribute band at 5, and Joe Dirt and the Dirty Boys at 7:30. Rib dinners from the Rib Cook-Off start at 5:30, and you pick whose ribs you want. See you in Staunton today.
And at 9:37, let's head back out to Nokomis once again. Here's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you so much. We are broadcasting live from the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum here in Nokomis. We're going to switch gears for just a moment, get off baseball, and
let's acknowledge one of our coworkers that was right about something.
For the first time ever, Tobinat was correct about something. The blind squirrel has found the acorn. Tobin, you were right, my man. You've been saying it for about a year that LeBron James is going to go back to Cleveland. Like, he's going back to Cleveland. And every time you said it, I stopped short of calling you a fool and just simply said, I don't think so, Tobin. Well, I'm the fool. You were right. Good call, Tobin Ott.
I get one right every once in a while.
We all do, but that was a good one to get right.
Absolutely. Look at Cleveland now. Go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
No, I was saying, you know, look at what he's done to Cleveland in the span of less than 24 hours. The morale in Cleveland is up.
And season tickets are sold out pretty much already.
How about that?
That's amazing.
Yeah, he did. I did not think he would do it, but he went ahead and did, and he took a little different approach this time. He did not have a big TV special, just kind of released an article, on SportsIllustrated.com.
He's tried to temper the expectations of the team, but that Israeli coach is going to have his hands full.
Let's be honest. LeBron's the coach. Let's be honest.
Right, but I mean, I wonder if he knew what he was getting into when he signed the contract.
I don't think he actually signed a contract yet.
Oh, has he?
I do not think so. Just basically said, I'm going back.
Oh, I meant the Israeli coach. Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if he knew what exactly he was getting into when he decided to go over to Cleveland, decided to come to the U.S.
Hard to say. Of course, you remember 4 years ago, Byron Scott took that job, assuming LeBron was going to come back. Didn't come back. Cleveland stunk. He got fired.
And now he's going to be the Lakers head coach, probably.
For a couple years.
Yeah. Maybe a year. We'll see.
We'll see. That's right. But, Tobin, you were correct. You called it. LeBron James returns to Cleveland. So Congratulations on being right, Tobin. I really thought you were going to be dead wrong.
I get one every once in a while.
Boy, he's being so modest about
yes.
this.
He could really rip you a new one.
I expected him to. I'd respect him more if he did.
Hey, just wait. They're not done. There may be a love train coming to Cleveland, too.
Oh, boy.
That's true.
Kevin,
that's
Kevin Love. Kevin
we'll
Love.
See. I mean, let's hope you can be right about the Blues as well. I would be excited about that.
You and me both.
Hey, the Blues re-signed that Ott guy, Tobin, so you can go ahead and get your Ott jersey now, right?
Exactly. It's already in the works. And they're getting new jerseys, too.
New jerseys for the Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a subtle change, but they're upgrading on their blue jersey and mm-hmm. white jersey, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Tobin, while we got you here on WSMI Sports Saturday, of course, I don't know, it's been over a month ago now, you got your head shaved for the Montgomery County Cancer Association. You raised all sorts of money. Mm-hmm. How's the hair coming back in?
It's coming back faster than I expected, actually. So, but I've gotten comments.
Is it coming back as thick?
It is, actually, and thicker in some areas. But I've actually gotten...
Hey, that's good.
Yeah. I've actually gotten compliments about how fast the hair is growing, and it's like, yeah, you should keep this look. It doesn't look that bad. So... Never say never.
It's not a bad look for you.
I think one of those was from your wife, was it not?
Yes, it was. I have to listen to her every once in a while.
that's probably a good idea.
So that may end up becoming a permanent look for you.
It could be. Could be.
We are broadcasting from the Bottom Lee Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum here in Nokomis. The Smithsonian exhibit is here for another week. A week from tomorrow will be the last day you will be able to come here to the museum in Nokomis and check out the Smithsonian exhibit. David, we were talking earlier about the championship trophy display they have over there. They've got all the trophies, but they also have the championship banner from the Taylorville Tornadoes, the famed 1944 Tornadoes that went 45-0. And obviously that was when there was only one class, and mm-hmm. they've got the scores and the games from the postseason, and you look at who they were playing, they were beating the big boys. You know, they're playing schools up in Chicago and from that part of the state, and that's something you just don't see anymore.
Yeah, I think it was, and it's right next to the Hillsborough championship team, and I just, you know, just in general looking at both of those, like both the opponents they played, I think I'm going to get confused on who played who, but I know obviously you said Evanston Academy up in Chicago. Normal University was in there. Just East St. Louis was another one that was in there. Just incredible. The if you were to think, you know, one of those teams, like a Taylorville or a Hillsborough beating a team from that area now,
right.
That would be, I mean,
monumental.
That wouldn't exactly go. I mean, you couldn't play them in a championship-style setting unless you went down classes.
I think it was in the 70s, I think. Chicago Hirsch came into the Carlinville Holiday Tournament, I think for 1 year.
Is that right?
Yeah, rolled everybody. And then I don't think they got asked back. I think there was an incident.
Yeah, I see.
Yes.
Is that all we'll leave it at?
We'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But the hometown teams exhibit is really a nice addition to the Smithsonian setup they have here in the baseball museum. So if you're a fan of high school sports around mid-Illinois, you need to come in to the Bottom Lee Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum here in Nokomis and check out the displays that they have. It really is quite neat.
And, of course, that that 1944 Taylorville team, that was Uncle Ralph on his final show. That was one of the teams he mentioned, probably the greatest team he ever saw.
Oh, that's exactly right. That was his final show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. The great and probably would have to be considered the greatest Illinois high school basketball team of all time.
Well, he certainly seemed to.
He
think
certainly
so.
Seemed to. I'm not going to disagree with the
notion. No, not at all.
When you go 45-0 and beat the type of schools they beat, and it's always impossible, no matter the sport, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, when you try to compare eras, mm-hmm. it's just so hard to do just because the athleticism is so different. The pace of the game is different. But it's hard to think that the Taylorville team of 1944 could have hung with, like, the Manuel teams of the mid-90s or the Simeon teams with Jabari Parker a few years ago. But who knows? Maybe they would have. Maybe those teams, the Manuel and Simeon teams, the modern teams, maybe their style wouldn't match up with Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, styles have just changed so much that it's virtually impossible to compare. One of the things that's impressive about that 44 team, not just the teams they played, but the
not many close games.
Yeah, not many close games. I mean, I think the semifinal was a close game, but when you look at the others, that may have just been a fluke. I mean, Taylorville may have been off during that game because everybody else they seemed to destroy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, I think they won their championship game by 23 points.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive is the Bottomley Roughing baseball music, Bottomley Roughing Shock.
Shock. Don't baseball forget Ray music. Shock.
That's right. Absolutely. Of course, they've got beautiful display cases for all three of those gentlemen. And when you come into the museum, if you walk to the back of the museum, they have a map of Illinois, and they have pins representing every Major League Baseball player that was born in Illinois. Not necessarily grew up in Illinois or moved to Illinois after the fact, but born in Illinois. And there's a lot more pins on there than you might think.
Oh, yeah, and Steve was talking about how, you know, you look on the Internet, you don't get a lot of the smaller towns mentioned because I think he said Baseball Reference, you know, they go by hospital that they were born in, and the hospitals were in the bigger cities.
Right, and there really is a lot of pins in the Metro East area.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly right. The St. Louis area down there has got most of them, and then you've got them scattered throughout the rest. I didn't get a good look, but I didn't remember seeing a lot of the baseball ones from the Chicago area.
It wasn't a lot up there.
No, I don't think I saw one of them. I was looking really hard.
More football and basketball there, I guess.
I believe that.
The Bottomley Roughing Shock Baseball Museum here in Nokomis. They have the Smithsonian Hometown Exhibit as well as the Hometown Teams Display. As well, we need another break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more from the Baseball Museum following these messages.
Farmers, for all your seed and chemical needs, Jared German of German Seed and Chemical in Nokomis is the one to call at 217-556-3163. German Seed and Chemical features seed from Mycogen, Stein, and Mershman. Plus, there's a full line of ag chemicals as well as custom spraying. Jared German at German Seed and Chemical, the one to call for all your seed and chemical needs. Call Jared German at German Seed and Chemical, 217-556-3163.
Auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement. Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you, just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way. Grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
Teamwork Rehab, physical therapy at Hillsboro Area Hospital, can provide you with all the services you need for living well, working effectively, and playing at the top of your game. We specialize in aquatic therapy, work hardening and conditioning, phase 3 cardiac rehab, orthopedic and sports rehabilitation, custom splinting and orthotics. Let our team of all licensed professionals meet your speech, occupational, and physical therapy needs at any of our 3 convenient locations in Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Nokomis. Give us a call at 532-4160. Trust Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsboro Area Hospital.
And at 9:47, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you this time by CarQuest. In Carlinville and Jacksonville, you'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. We'll have a slight chance for some showers. Expect a high today of around 90. Partly cloudy skies continuing on for tonight. Still a chance for some rain tonight. We'll have a low of around 70. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies with a 50% chance for some rain. Expect a high Sunday of around 88 degrees. Extended look at the forecast Sunday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy and turning cooler with a chance of showers Sunday and Monday. We'll have highs falling into the upper 70s. The lows will be in the low 60s. And at 9:48, we have a temperature reading of 78 degrees. The weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 90 seconds.
Since 1899, 4 generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
The Jacoby Arts Center in Alton proudly presents Splash, the 2014 exhibition of the St. Louis Watercolor Society. Let your eyes be captivated by the shimmering light and dazzling color on display now through August. It's watercolor at its best by the region's most accomplished watercolor artist. And it's only at the Jacoby Arts Center in Alton, open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5.
Listen for daytime broadcasts of St. Louis Cardinals baseball on WSMI AM 1540. Brought to you by Area Diesel Service in Carlinville, St. Louis Regional Airport, Madison Communications, your internet source, Saveview Tech in Litchfield, saving your technology today and tomorrow, and by Stars Primal Meats in Carlinville. And for the broadcast schedule of Cardinals baseball, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
And at 9:50, let's head back out to Nokomis once again. Here's Tim Mize and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you so much. We are here at the Bottomley Roughing Shock Baseball Museum in Nokomis. And David, you've been to Cooperstown. A lot of folks, I've never been there. A lot of folks will never get the opportunity to go to Cooperstown. This really is kind of the next best thing.
Yeah, it's, if you want to basically compare the two, it's the exact same thing. Just obviously, I mean, these people aren't as famous, but it's, the setup is, I mean, it's spot on. It's the same thing they would have at Cooperstown. I mean, just not as big.
And that's the thing about baseball, more so than the other sports. There's so much history. Mm-hmm. It goes so far back. There's such a deep connection between the country and baseball. When you walk through here, it almost takes you back. Like when I find myself looking at like the 1944 Cardinals uniform, you know, I can't help but like think of what it would have been like to be wearing a suit and tie and like sitting in Sportsman's Park watching the game.
Yeah, that's what's, I think that you mentioned that. I think they have something at Cooperstown where, you know, you see the different eras of fans of what they're wearing. You know, they go from suit and tie to nice white button-up shirt and dress pants to, you know, they're still wearing maybe a collared shirt and slacks, and now it's just whatever you want to wear.
And you get a sense of that with the Smithsonian exhibit here, as they've got a couple of the modern pictures of the ball players with their uniforms on. And then, of course, here at the museum, they've got some great displays of the old school uniforms. A little hotter, those old school uniforms.
Hotter, and remember, there were no night games back then. Right. I mean, you're playing every game during the day, so that made it even worse.
That's exactly right. I mean, there's just too much in here to even really talk about. But I mean, they've got autographs, they've got memorabilia, they've got pretty much anything you could possibly imagine baseball related. You will find it here at the Bottomley Roughing Shock Baseball Museum. And we heard Steve Johnson tell us earlier, since they've had this exhibit up since June 7th, people from 13 states and 4 countries have come in to check it out. 4 countries.
Yeah. It's good that, well, and as Donna mentioned, it's good that Nokomis was on their radar, on their list of places to go.
No doubt about it.
And even if it wasn't, even if they were just, you know, hey, this looks pretty neat, come in, I'm sure it was a, like I said, pleasant surprise.
Right. Well, and it's more this museum than Nokomis itself.
Yeah.
They got the exhibit here. Because, I mean, this is a unique setup that they have here at the Bottomley Roughing Shock Baseball Museum. Of course, how many small towns can lay claim to 3 Hall of Famers like Nokomis can? But it's just kind of a blast from the past whenever you walk into this place.
Yes, it is. I got him. I didn't really know Jim Bottomley was from this area, so shame on me.
Though,
I knew the name, and I knew Ray Schalk. Red Ruffing was a unfamiliar name to me, but I knew Jim Bottomley and Ray Schalk. Obviously, growing up in Litchfield, Schalk Fields in Litchfield being named after Ray Schalk, so I was familiar with that.
So you've got one more week to come out, see the Smithsonian hometown exhibit, as well as the hometown team display they have here at the Bottomley Roughing Shock Baseball Museum. We are broadcasting live here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll have Cardinal baseball coming up this afternoon at 2:15 on WSMI AM 1540. Then the Cardinals back on the radio tomorrow. I think 12:20 is the broadcast time tomorrow on AM 1540. And that will be the last game before the All-Star break. And the Redbirds just one game out of first place. They were 6 or 7 games out not that long ago.
I don't know that they actually reached 7. They were 6 games. I think 6 was the furthest they've been back. But, I mean, they very easily could have been 7. It could have been 10 games back, as poorly as they were playing. But like we said, the Brewers didn't take advantage. And Now Milwaukee's got to be kicking themselves for that because only one game up before the break.
And Wainwright going today for the Cardinals. So,
well, last night's game, if you're a Brewers fan, that might have been your shot at this series. As a Cardinals fan, I haven't felt confident for a lot of sweeps, but this series just it feels like it's going to be a sweep with, you know, them coming back last night, and then you have Wainwright tonight, and even Carlos Martinez pitching. I have all the confidence in the world in Carlos Martinez.
There's a reason that all the other fan bases in the Central Division despise the Cardinals. It's because the Cardinals are good every year, and the one year when their team is good, they just can't get the Cardinals out of their way. And if you're a Milwaukee Brewer fan, it's been such a great ride here the first half of the year, but now you look up, and the dreaded Cardinals are just the game out. Yep. And the Cardinals have proven, not just over the last few years, but really over just the history of their organization, they don't go away. You're going to have to play good baseball to beat them. They're not going to just fold up and beat themselves. Even with Yadi being out for basically what is going to be the rest of the year, unless he comes back super fast, which is possible. I wouldn't discount that from Yadi. But you have to play good baseball for 6 months if you want to win the division away from the Cardinals. 6 months. It's a six-month grind. And the Cardinals, that's what they did the first half, grinded. You know, I don't think that any member of the Cardinals, whether it's a player, whether it's the manager, or people in the front office, I don't think anybody would say that they played good baseball. They pitched well, but they didn't really play good baseball for any extended stretch during the first 3 months of the year.
I'd say we've talked about some of the position players that have struggled. I don't think there's anyone that's going to benefit more from the break than the bullpen, because with all the starting pitching they've lost, Adam Wainwright's the only one that can go deep into games, and Lance Lynn's done a nice job going deep when he can, but he's even struggled getting past the sixth inning. So I think the bullpen's going to need the break the most out of anybody.
No doubt about it. I think the All-Star break is at a perfect time for Alan Craig.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think he just needs get away from
it
for a week.
I mean, he said he's every answer he's given is basically, you know, let's put the first half behind me because I can't wait for this to be over and get started on the second half.
And that's what makes baseball so hard, because it is a game of failure. I mean, you're going to make an out 7 out of 10 times, and if you do that, you're considered a great hitter. And when you play every day, the more you're struggling, the more you need to relax. But that's not the way human nature works.
Right. Well, maybe he will be able to relax, because I don't know that there are going to be a lot of expectations on him, because everybody wants to see Oscar Tavares play. So, I mean, everybody's going to expect the outfield to be some form of, you know, Holiday, Tavares, and J/Borges, and Craig every once in a while with Adams at first base. And, you know, Craig will get a game here and a game there and maybe start to heat up, and then he's finally hitting in the second half, hopefully.
Well, all the names we've mentioned here today for the Cardinals, Matt Adams is one that we hadn't mentioned yet. And where would the offense – really, when Adams came back off the DL and started hitting for power, that's really when the offense kind of started to turn the corner.
Yeah, and he was one of the names mentioned as being one of the potential biggest trade pieces they had this season.
That's not happening now.
Not anymore. Not with Craig's struggles combined with Adams' production. I mean, you can't trade him anymore. I mean, if Craig wasn't hitting as bad as he was, you could have – I mean, Adams would be a really good trade piece. You could get something huge back for him. But since Craig's not doing anything, you have to keep Adams. He's all your offense right now. He's your best hitter. He's hitting .330. And Yadi's not even hitting it. I think he's the only Cardinal hitting over .300 is Adams. So that's shocking.
Right. And they say Yadi's out for 8 to 12 weeks is what they say. So that's the year.
Yeah, probably. I mean, at best, you're looking at him coming back early September, first week of September. I don't think that's really likely.
I mean, anything's possible, I guess. But we were talking on the way over, even if he does come back in September, the minor league season will be over, so he's not going to have an opportunity to play any rehab games.
Right. Another guy who's they won't say he's out for the year, but he's probably out for the year, Michael Wacha. I mean, they learned that while his shoulder is healing, it's not healed as fast as they hoped it would. So I think they've said at least 2 more weeks before he's even going to start throwing. They would probably be best served to just shut him down. Don't even worry about it. I mean, you're pitching. You've got enough young starting pitchers to get by. So just shut him down and get him ready for next year. I don't think you want to try risking another injury to Michael Wacha.
Well, that's right, because if you have that injury again, yeah. It could be career threatening.
I mean, that's a shoulder injury. It's not a, it's a fracture in the shoulder, so it's really unknown, but you don't want to cause any more damage than you already have.
Absolutely not. We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. We want to thank Steve Johnson and everyone here at the Bottomley Roughing Chalk Baseball Museum for their hospitality. Fantastic displays here in the museum. Some great exhibits as well. The Smithsonian exhibit will be here until next Sunday. So if you have not been out, make sure you get out and check that out, as well as the hometown teams portion as well, with all the local state championship trophies from around the listening area. Don't forget Nokomis Homecoming going on here today as well in downtown Nokomis. We are out of time. For Tobin Ott, David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.